This morning, my message is going to relate to the second Advent candle that was lit this morning, which is the candle of peace. And I want to extrapolate from what Peter wrote in just those brief two verses, two particular words that I'd like to base my message on this morning. Seek peace. Seek peace. We need to pursue peace as a people, as a nation, and as a world, because there's very little peace in our world today. And I believe deep down inside, peace is what is the one single thing that most people desire and what we strive for. I looked up Webster's Dictionary, the word peace, in part, and the dictionary says freedom from disturbance, right? When we don't have peace, we're disturbed. Tranquility. How many like to have a tranquil life? Okay, for those of you who didn't raise your hand, I will pray for you and anoint you with oil after the service. It's a state of calmness when you have peace. Being in harmony with yourself and with others, you will find peace in that state of being. Now, the opposite of peace is a mind cluttered with noise and irritation. Our minds are just so busy, we can't settle ourselves into a tranquil place. Living with a sense of conflict and disturbance is the opposite of having a state of peace in our lives. You know, I read something very interesting in a historical journal this week, and I'd like to share that with you. It might shock you, and maybe it won't. But I read that in the past 3,400 years, 3,400 years, humans have been entirely at peace for only 268 of those years. That's an amazing figure. 8% of human history over the last 3,400 years, the world was at peace. We've been at war somewhere on this earth 92% of the time of human history over the past 3,400 years. That is an amazing, that's a shocking figure. It's very disturbing, actually, when you talk about losing your peace, when I read it. Did you know that since 1950, the United States is still at war with North Korea? Now, some of you might be a little surprised by that. We only signed a truce agreement with North Korea, but we never signed an agreement of peace. And so, technically speaking, we are still at war with North Korea for 71 years. And every now and then there's a skirmish at the border up there that we don't hear about. Epictetus, a first century philosopher, listen to this. He referred to the Pax Romana, which was Caesar's famous, the Peace of Rome. It's the great Roman Empire that has instilled peace across the known world. Well, he responds to that, this philosopher. He says, while the emperor may give peace from war on land and sea, he's unable to give peace from passion, grief, and envy. He cannot give peace of heart, for which man yearns more than even the outward peace. First century philosopher, talking about something that has nothing to do with the outer circumstances that Caesar was so proud of. He was talking about our hunger and our desire and our striving for an inner peace. I don't know about you, but when I have an inner peace in my life, it's a good day. When you can rest your head on the pillow at night and say, wow, everything's all right. And that's what he was talking about. He struck at the very heart of the human condition. He struck at the very heart of why we've been at war so much, why we had to put to rest yesterday a hero of World War II. Because the world is disturbed, it's turbulent. There's always something going on where people just don't know how to get along with each other. And Peter speaks to that this morning. The Pax Romana could not give an individual inner peace. You know, even nature can be unsettling and disturbing and alarming at times. What do I mean? Think of hurricanes and tornadoes and floods and earthquakes. Now, we know a little something about hurricanes, don't we? How many remember Superstorm Sandy? We know something about floods. But I want to tell you, when we had all those tornadoes the other day, I thought I was back in school in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Because we're not used to tornadoes on Long Island. But there were quite a few of them that dropped down on Long Island not too long ago. You see, I thought of Jesus and his disciples. When you talk about nature stirring up our environment that causes us to be uneasy. When he was in a boat with his disciples crossing the Sea of Galilee and hurricane winds began to brew and rise up, Jesus stood. And what happened when he did that? He rebuked the wind and he said, "Peace, be still." Now, I get sick in a bathtub, so I don't do well. Harry, you in the Navy, God bless you. I would have not done well. I would have been on sick call every day. And I would imagine those disciples were scared to death that they were going to die because that's depicted in the gospel. Jesus stands up and he even spoke to the wind, "Be still, peace." And the winds died down. And the disciples' hearts were put back in their chests because they were in their throats, no doubt. And you know, when I thought about that "peace be still" that Jesus said that day to the roaring waves and wind that was about them on the Sea of Galilee, I envision a child startled in the middle of the night by a strong, loud report of thunder. How many know that mamas could hear their children? You could put 15 babies in a room and a mother will know the cry of her child over the other 14. It's instilled. And I think of a mom holding that child that's startled by the thundering report that's going on outside the walls of the home. And she goes, "Shh, be still. Everything's okay." And rocking that child back to sleep again, nestled in her arms. It's a beautiful image. Do you remember when the angels woke up to the sound of an angel speaking and they were startled and frightened? I don't know about you, but if I was sleeping and an angel with a bright light woke me up, I'd be startled too. And what did the angel say? "Do not be afraid. For see, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be to all people a peace on earth to all those who believe." And the shepherds in the field. And you know, I was privileged to be in that shepherd's field many times in Bethlehem. It's an incredible place to see. And those shepherds were able to calm down because the angel said, "Shh. Peace, everything's going to be okay. I got great joy, good news to report to you." And again, I have that image of a mother stroking her child's head, offering peace and calm and assurance in the midst of a storm. Now, Peter, in our text this morning, he encourages us to seek peace. Don't just wait for it to come. Seek after it. Seek peace, he tells us. And I want to tell you, it's something not easily obtained unless you're looking for it in the right places. Again, I think if you strip away all of the things that people may be seeking, such as wealth and good health and relationships and great careers, etc., none of these are bad in and of themselves in seeking. In fact, I would encourage you to do so. Seek good health. Seek career advancement. Seek continuing your education. Do all those things. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's something fundamentally deeper that underpins all of this, a deep desire for personal peace that is not simply based on circumstances that are going on around us. Peace of mind, freedom from fear, freedom from worry, freedom from trouble, freedom from distress. Do our efforts and our own strength and wisdom bring us peace? Now, the spiritual thing to say is, oh no, well yes, of course, we could do things on our own that will bring us peace. There's no doubt about it. Until the next storm comes our way. And there will be another storm. That's just part of life. I'm not a gloom and doom kind of preacher, but life just works that way. That, you know, we're on a mountain high experience, and then we get hit, and then we're midway up that mountain, and sometimes we find ourselves in the valley. If we are fortunate and diligent, we can keep the forces of chaos at bay, but only for a while, on our own. Eventually and inevitably, something will break through, something that we can't control. It's out of our control. How many like to control things? Be honest. Who's the control freaks in the congregation? But sometimes we just don't have control over what's happening in our lives. Something we don't anticipate. And it comes our way, and our peace is stolen from us. Sometimes it happens without warning. You go into work and your boss hands you a pink slip on Friday afternoon. You're done.
Praise the Lord!
Yeah. That's somebody who's going to retire soon. That's not a pink slip. That's a retirement notice. Or a sudden illness pops up, or a bad report, whatever that bad report is, an emotional breakdown. Our emotions are on edge. And sometimes it develops slowly over a period of time. A deteriorating marriage. A relationship that once was strong and now it's broken down. And there's struggles in that relationship. A long-term illness. Of financial worries. Didn't happen overnight, but your 401k is now a 201k. All of your investments have been cut in half. Inflation has hit your retirement. And you've been watching it slowly happen. But there's good news, my friends. There's a way to have lasting peace in our lives. Psalm 29:11 says this. Listen to this. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. The Prince of Peace gives us peace. If God desires peace for his people, then why do so many people find it so hard to find? Why is it so difficult to find peace in our lives? Why is it so rare, even amongst Christians, right? We're supposed to have peace, the peace of Christ in our lives, but even we Christians struggle to have peace in our lives. I'm talking about a solid, genuine, lasting peace in our lives that sustains us in the good times and the bad times. through joys and sorrows, through triumph and failure. That's the kind of peace that Peter is speaking of as well. In general, and it may sound a bit simplistic, but people often fail to find peace. You know why? Because they're always looking for peace in the wrong places. Let me give you an example. We find ourselves in a place where we're lacking peace. And so we decide to go online and we do Amazon binging. And we order tons of stuff. And oh, we're like a kid in a candy store. The next step, you know why? You're an Amazon Prime member. So you get next day delivery. And you see that Amazon truck pull up and he drops off 42 boxes of stuff. And you rush it all in the house. And you get the scissor and you start opening the boxes. And you adore these things. And you're happy as could be. Until that oven toaster is nothing but a hunk of junk on your countertop. Yes, I like shopping Amazon. And yeah, I do get little chills up and down my spine when I open the box, but it doesn't last. Or you don't have peace and you stay up all night. Has that ever happened to you? Amen. Where you watch TV and now you've watched your 57th MyPillow commercial? And you got a pen and pencil next to you and you start jotting down numbers to call and order. And the next thing you know, you've ordered three sets of Giza dream sheets, two pairs of MyPillow slippers, and they even threw in MyPillow mattress topper. Plus, 30-day supply of Relief Factor and a CD by Pat Boone. You got that coming in the mail as well. You see, we may succeed for a while in obtaining peace, whether through Amazon or ordering stuff through TV commercials. It doesn't matter. It's not going to last. It's not enduring. I love what Jesus tells us in John chapter 16, verse 33. Listen, I've told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world, you will have lots of trouble. How many know that we've had trouble in our lives? But take heart, he says. I've overcome this world. And then two chapters before that, in chapter 14, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives. Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled. And don't be afraid. I give you a peace, Jesus is saying, that the world can't give. It's a peace that's enduring and lasting. In spite of the troubles that are in the world in which we live. You see, if our peace is built on the wrong foundation, if it's built on shifting sands of circumstances, in other words, we only have peace when our circumstances are going well. If our peace is built on that, it is unsustainable. And I'm speaking from experience in my own life. If it's built on my circumstances, I'll never have peace. The kind of peace most people are seeking is this: inner peace. Internal peace, not based on external circumstances. And that's why we're encouraged to focus on the inside. That is exactly what Peter is encouraging us to do. Focus on the inner man and woman, not on the outer circumstances of our lives. Let me just say a couple of things real quick as I come to a close. You want to have a lasting peace? Trust in God. I preach that all the time. I preach it to myself. When I start to panic when a trouble comes into my life and I start wondering, oh, what am I going to do? I got to come back to a place where I say, you know what, Lord? I got to put my trust in you. I got to give this to you. I've got to surrender this to you. Now, we could put our trust in organizations. We could put our trust in the stock market, in government. We could depend on individuals, retirement accounts, and again, none of these are bad in and of themselves. Okay, we need a retirement account. We need to trust in certain organizations. I get all that. But if we're going to put all of our trust in that, we're going to be very disappointed that it's not going to give us the peace that we're seeking. We can only get that when we put our total trust in God. You know, the Bible says that even though everything else may fail us, God will never fail us. Do you believe that? Amen. Listen to what the psalmist writes in Psalm 20, verse 7. Some put their trust in chariots and horses, but I put my trust in the Lord my God. Now, going back in history when that was written, Israel had a great army. They had lots of horses and chariots. And by the way, that was the newest technology of its day. That would be equivalent to computer-driven tanks and laser-driven missiles that we have in our arsenal today in the military. And yet, he writes, I have lots of chariots, I have lots of horses, but I don't put my trust in new technology of the day. I put all of my trust in the Lord. So when I go into battle, I don't go into battle just on the basis of my army and the technology. I go into battle trusting in the Lord. So when we go into battle, when we're battling against this insurmountable thing that has gripped us, that come against us, that waylaid us, who do we put our trust in? Our finances? Our education? Dr. Phil? I trust in the Lord. And also, if you want lasting peace, we need to, on a daily basis, confess our sins and take up our crosses every day. What do I mean by that? We should look at ourselves every day and we should say, Lord, did I do anything? Did I say anything? Did I fail to do something this day that is not pleasing to you and doesn't line up with your word? Is there something that I know that I did or thought or said or failed to have done that is not right in your eyes? Then I need to get before you and I need to confess that to you and I need to ask for your forgiveness. I want to tell you, when we have a clean heart and a clean slate and we're forgiven for the things that we've fallen short of, God is ever merciful to forgive. And we need to remember that. John, by the way, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, he says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we think, oh, you know what? We never mess up. It's always the other person. It's always my mother-in-law. It's always this, my neighbor, it's my boss, it's... No, we mess up probably on a daily basis. I'm not talking about robbing a bank or cheating on your spouse. We know when we've fallen short. But here's the good news. John says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful to forgive us. I don't know about you, but when I'm forgiven, it makes me feel really good inside. Have you ever apologized to somebody and the person says, I forgive you? And you embrace, and you get yourself right with that individual. It's a beautiful feeling. We need to get right with God on a daily basis. That will give us lasting peace. And lastly, the third thing that will provide us lasting peace is prayer. Prayer is not the only answer, but it's a big part of the answer. The Apostle Paul writes, do not be anxious about anything, but in all things, make your requests known to God. In prayer and petition with thanksgiving, and he'll give you a peace that passes all human understanding, and he'll guard your troubled heart and your troubled mind. That is a beautiful, beautiful thought. Listen, we can stew, we can worry, We can pace the floor. We could call everybody. We could read all the self-help books that are on the shelves at Barnes & Noble. We could say over and over again, I wish I coulda, shoulda, woulda. And none of those things are going to give us a lasting peace. And so Advent's a great time to rediscover the peace of God, friends. There's a lot of craziness going on in our world today. There's a lot of craziness going on in our personal lives, in our families, in our workplace, in our community. There's a lot of craziness going on. But through placing our trust in Him and making Him first in our lives, by getting right with God and asking for His forgiveness if we mess up, fall short, or whatever, and by prayer, which has an enormous power associated with, we can experience a lasting peace. So I just want to say to you this morning, on this second Sunday of Advent, peace be with you.
And also with you.
I receive it. Do you?
Amen.
Amen.